cricket, lovely cricket. Cricket lick the ball. Yes, indeed. Welcome along. I hope you've had a good week. It's quite interesting at this time of year. People say to me, "Have you got much to talk about?" Are you kidding? It is non-stop these days in the world of cricket. 98 Not Out goes 52 weeks a year. On the radio, on Phoenix 98 FM. On the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, look for 98 Not Out. On YouTube as well, for some video content. And across all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you can use all of those to message me if you want to take part in the show. Talking of which, good evening to Dan Hagger, always listens in. If you want to email, radio@phoenixfm.com is the address. Title your mail 98 Not Out and it will get through to me with anything you want to say, any of your views on the show or cricket in general. Or if you just want to say hi. Now on tonight's show, I talked to Richard Clark, aka the Grumbler, well known to many of you. He was supposed to be in the studio, but he couldn't make it, so I had to just record something. But we have a good discussion about how red ball cricket can be saved. And he asked the question, is the answer Barry Hearn? Very interesting chat coming up. We'll also be talking about what is going on at Yorkshire and what is going on at Hampshire. And on the day that the England team set off for their 5-test tour of India via Abu Dhabi, where they have gone for an 11-day training session. Some good golf courses there. We ask the question, is that the right preparation for such a big tour? Also, all the usual news. Bit of music as well. Set yourselves in your comfy chair and prepare for an hour of 98 Not Out.
In a different style. Man called Jah Thomas in a rubber dub style. Man called Jah Thomas in a different style.
I've got to say good evening to Don Topley and Mark Butcher, both huge supporters of this show, sunning themselves out in South Africa, where the SA20 is about to get underway. If you follow either of them on social media, you will see that they are working hard. All right, let's get the show underway. It's Cricket Birthdays of the Week. No, I just mentioned Mark Butcher. His old man, Alan Butcher, the former Surrey and England great, who now lives in deepest, darkest Essex. This week, he turned 70. And talking of Essex greats, Mr. Paul Pritchard, former captain, 59. Australia's Travis Friend, 43. Josh Hazlewood, 33. West Indies great Lawrence Rowe, 75. From Pakistan, Harris Sahail, 34. Jimmy Adams, 56. James Kirtley, 49. Rahul Dravid, 51. England's Mark Wood, 34. Richie Richardson, he of the floppy hats, 62. Stephen Parry, 38. Cameron Akmal, 42. And listener Neil Palmer, 53. And Phoenix FM's very own John Chubb, 53 tomorrow. And I should add myself to that list because it was my birthday on Tuesday. 57 before any of you start asking. Yes, there you go, there you go. Right, well, let's get into what's been going on. I'll start with England. As I mentioned, they have departed these shores today, heading to Abu Dhabi for an 11-day training camp ahead of the test, the 5-test tour to India. Now, there's been a bit of a Twitter spat going on where Steve Harmison was commenting on TalkSport Radio about this was not the right way to prepare for such a great big test series as being away in India. Five tests. It's a proper, and my word, aren't we glad to see a proper test series. As we mentioned last week, all of these two test series and second string sides is just not the way forward. So England are going out for a proper five test series against India. But is going to Abu Dhabi the right preparation? There was lots of controversy about England's performance in the recent World Cup, also in India, where they appeared to be undercooked and didn't really start firing until it was probably too late to progress in the tournament. Now, Ben Stokes hit back at Steve Harmison and said that this training camp was more than enough preparation. But the question I would ask is, does Abu Dhabi playing around with your mates prepare you properly for the heat, the humidity, the air quality, and all the rest of it that goes with playing in India? I'm not necessarily sure it is. I would have liked to have seen, this is my view personally, a couple of warm-up games, you know, competitive warm-up games, and properly acclimatizing yourself, not necessarily in the way that Abu Dhabi is. I mean, even the talk that was mentioned about the possibilities for golf and you know, relaxing on days off, will the temptation be too much? There's too much talk and too much on social media of England players playing golf and larking about on various golf courses, and in some cases breaking their legs in two places on golf courses. Anyway, we shall see. If England starts to struggle, then the criticism will be coming thick and fast.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Now, pantomime season is just about finished, but everyone's favourite pantomime villain, David Warner, has finished his international career this week, and he can't stay out of the headlines. First of all, there was the baggy cap gate, where his famous Australian green baggy cap went missing, and he put out pleas across social media and everywhere for the return of it. It did turn up in time for his final test appearance, We might need Poirot to investigate on this, because Pat Cummings seemed to suggest that there was a bit of hijinks at stake in that, and it wasn't necessarily all that it was cracked up to be. Somebody had probably hidden it or whatever else, but we shall see. Now, Warner's also got a book in the pipeline that will apparently raise eyebrows. I think he's going to be alluding to sandpaper. Well, take your pick with David Warner. I mean, you know, there's a whole list as long as your arm of the controversial incidents that he's been involved with down the years. But there you go. It will raise eyebrows. Now, talking of which, Lakeside Lizzie Ammon, has reported that Warner is flying by helicopter from his brother's wedding and landing at the SCG to play in the Big Bash tomorrow. What a shrinking violet that man is.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, closer to home, the big story amongst cricket fans today is the news that's coming out of Yorkshire. The board has approved a controversial takeover for the cash-strapped club from a consortium headed up by former chairman Colin Graves. Now, Graves' time at Yorkshire was part of the period for which the club was fined for failing to address the systematic use of discriminatory or racist language. Having been approved by the board, the matter now goes before the members, who will vote on the 2nd of February on whether to approve the takeover. The board of Yorkshire County Cricket Club has tonight agreed to recommend a loan agreement from Mr. Colin Graves, the club said in a statement. Last year, the ECB criticised Graves for suggesting some of the incidents of racism at the club were banter. But in a statement released today, Graves said, "I apologise personally and unreservedly to anyone who experienced any form of racism at Yorkshire County Cricket Club. I profoundly regret some of the language I used and when asked about the events that took place when I was chairman at a time when I was no longer at the club," said Graves. I understand and sympathise with those who regarded my comments as dismissive or uncaring. I'm determined to do whatever is required to ensure Yorkshire County Cricket Club continues to reflect the communities it represents. The club cannot and will not succeed unless it is unified in its commitment to meet the highest professional standards on and off the field. Discrimination or abuse based on race, ethnicity, or any other protected characteristic is not and will not be acceptable. Make of that what you will. Remember, he was the man that forced through the 100 when he was head of the ECB. So there's a lot more to this man that needs scrutiny, in my opinion. There is more to this story as well beneath the headlines, because it is reported that Graves is understood to be proposing a change in the structure of Yorkshire from a members club into a private limited company, which basically means, in simplest terms, that members won't have a say in what's going on there, and the club can be bought or sold at, well, Graves' leisure. We shall see. But the members, I would suggest, I've read a lot about this today. It's kind of been dressed up as a bit of a, you know, sink or swim. The club owes Graves' family, or a trust owned by Graves' family, about £15 million in debt, which will then can be converted to a form of a loan if Graves returns to the club. And the alternative to that is sinking into administration. And that is basically what's being put before the members. Now, what I would suggest is members are brave on this. If you don't want Graves back, if you think it's a backward step, vote against it. Going into administration is a really, really big thing, and I would also suggest that the ECB would not want to have a club the size and history of Yorkshire County Cricket Club going into administration. I'm sure there would be something found further down the line. They cannot let that club sink into the mire. So let's see what happens. It's all with the members now, so be brave, guys, and do what you think is the right thing.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Recent events of the last few days and weeks have got me a bit worried about what's going on in Red Bull cricket, both internationally and domestically. I'm joined by Richard Clark, aka The Grumbler, who many of you will know. He's a regular on the show. And of course, you are all subscribing to his County Cricket newsletter. And if you're not, why not? I will give you details later on about how to do so. Richard, we've just seen one of the fastest or shortest test matches of all time take place at Newlands. Now, some may say it was a fantastic thing to watch. It's kind of like what the modern cricket audience want. Wickets falling, you know, very fast pace, big hoicks down to long leg with spectacular catches being taken. But we don't want to see test matches over in a day and a bit. And it's kind of diluting what test match cricket is all about. And I wonder also that this series between South Africa and India was only two test matches. There's another two test match series going on as South Africa travel to New Zealand. I don't get the point of a two match series. It's meaningless. Is test cricket voting meaningless mediocrity for itself going forward? Is that what's going on?
It's a difficult picture, isn't it? Because yes, I look at that squad that New Zealand, that South Africa is sending to New Zealand, and because of the domestic South African T20 tournament, I think it's seven debutants going out there. And I'm not sure if they've got a great record, South Africa against New Zealand, and they're going to pretty much, you would think, they're going to surrender it. But the flip side of that is Edgbaston just announced that the first 3 days against the West Indies have sold out, which
that's right.
Is, I'm not sure it's unprecedented, but it's very unusual. And you think, well, the West Indies, not the draw that they were. And Is that the Bazball effect? I mean, you know, I was critical to a certain extent of Bazball last year because they were so committed to it that they didn't win. They actually didn't win the Ashes.
Yeah.
And they were so committed to the theory as opposed to actually winning the test match using the advantages that Bazball can create. But it's exciting. It's exciting, and I'm all for it. We want exciting sport. But, you know, this is the point, that exciting sport, if you're a cricket fan, I get excited about rear guard actions where the tail bats, you know, the last two wickets squeeze us an extra batting or bowling point or get us in the lead or see a draw out. That's the wonderful thing about cricket, that it's such a nuanced game that you can find drama in many aspects of the play. Certainly if it's a test match over 5 days, there's all sorts of little narratives going on there. That's the great, you know, the multi-layered aspect of cricket that we all enjoy. And the trouble is that franchise cricket is taking over. And, you know, as I've always said, T20 is a soap opera with very obvious narratives, and test cricket is a Shakespeare play, and there's a lot going on there.
In this country, there seems to be a disparity going on between, you know, you watch test cricket abroad, and quite often, I don't know how to be kind about this, attendances aren't great. But as you mentioned, Esperson has sold out first 3 days for a West Indies side that is not the West Indies of old, but still there's a draw there. Test cricket in this country does sell. It remains popular. I'm trying to think of the last time I watched a test match, you know, forget day five aside, but that wasn't almost all sold out, and at fairly strong ticket prices these days as well. Why is it that people will happily go along and pay, you know, big sums of money to watch test cricket, but there still seems to be a struggle to get bums on seats with the county championship?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on there. Certainly, if you look at UK supporters, and I've worked in sport all over the world, UK supporters are a different gravy. We really are a different gravy in that we're selling out the championship, you know, let alone the Premier League. The championship is, there's a lot of clubs like 70, 80% of capacity when they're not having a lot of publicity, for example. If you look at the London Olympics, the Paralympics sold out, and there were tickets. There was a kind of a black market for tickets for events that that no one would have been interested in before that, for example. And if you went into other Paralympics, they wouldn't have been sold out to the same level in the same way. So the UK fan is really, really passionate. I think that is important. The other thing is that the, in terms of the difference between test and county cricket, well, there is county cricket has been allowed to wither, shall we say, in many respects. But one of them is in terms of publicity, PR. Obviously, television coverage has been behind the Sky wall since 2005. You don't get domestic games shown. Part of that is the economics of television, as much as anything else. And it was the economics of television that meant the Premier League, you know, the skies of this world, jumped on Premier League football to develop it. And from that, everything has grown. So, you know, TV is a business, sport is a business. They're not there. And this is one of my issues, the fact that television has been too influential in the future trajectory of domestic cricket in the UK, and they aren't looking after cricket, they're looking after themselves because they're a business. And, you know, you look at media is a business, right? So covering a 3-4 day game at the county championship, well, that involves a reporter being there for three or four days. That's a different spend to somebody going to a one-off 90 minute game. You know, I used to work on the Telegraph, and I used to get paid more for my expenses to going to games than I did for actually covering the game itself. And I tell you what, I was covering games for the Telegraph, football games for the Telegraph 20 years ago, and the fee is exactly the same. So the written word has gone down in terms of its importance, and the nature of cricket means it's hard to cover in the same way. Plus, there's been other forces at play. Business force to play that meant that, you know, when Essex won the championship in 79, I think it was, yeah, I went and got the trophy from Prince Philip in Buck House. Impossible, incredible to think that now.
Yeah.
It's so unimportant.
That's right. And it's, I mean, there's an interesting thing there. I mean, we've been talking about television, but newspaper coverage. Now, you say you work for the Telegraph, but the Telegraph, the Times, all the broadsheets during the summer would have a couple of full-size pages reporting on what was going on in the county championship. You'd have, you know, and scorecards printed and all the rest of it. You're really hard-pressed now to see in any kind of, hard-copy newspaper, any kind of mention of county cricket these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mail do a bit. Paul Newman's very good at, on the Mail, trying to keep things going and interest alive. But yes, I remember the days of Pat Gibson on the Express. My father used to get the Express, and Pat Gibson has just passed away, actually. Used to write a lot of reports there, and used to get, even on the sort of the middle market newspapers such as that, you used to get the scorecards and you used to get reports. And then it became just a broadsheet thing. And now it's kind of reduced away from the broadsheets. And that's you know, media is a business, and media is also a technology business. And you've seen the nature of reporting change now to be more important in a way to, it's easier to cover celebrity news than it is to invest in long-form, well-informed writers to opine about sport. That's why it's left to bloggers such as me, unpaid bloggers such as me, to write long-form. We're the only ones left, to be honest. That's only because, I've got a good face for radio, as they say, so it's best I write.
Join the club. I do wonder about this, but I always try and look for light at the end of the tunnel. And assume that it's not an out-of-control freight train. With county cricket, all the counties, some much better than others, but all of a fairly good standard, have these streams, you know, which came through the necessity of lockdown. And I sort of wonder whether the BBC or some mainstream terrestrial channel couldn't pull together a kind of a match of the day highlights programme to be shown, whatever time you want to show it, 10 o'clock at night, whatever. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the Test match highlights didn't come on till very, very late into the evening. Why they couldn't do a kind of a Today at the County Championship type programme, which is pulled from things that are already going on, from YouTube streams and some of the streams at the counties are very, very high quality indeed these days.
I have a tweet from 2012 of me suggesting that they put the BBC commentaries onto the side screen cameras at the top of the side screen, so go from either end. That's 2012 I was talking about. Wow. This is kind of what I do as a business. And yes, it's very possible, but it is revenue versus resource. How much time it would take to do that and how what the audience would be. It's not impossible to do, and you've even seen Sky take some of the county stream feeds them either as little clips on Sky Sports News, or I think there was one of the games, I think was it a Surrey game, that they used their actual cameras, which are not quite a broadcast broadcast quality, but they're kind of something approaching that. They're certainly okay. My piece on county streams is they have to remain free because we have to grow the audience. So monetizing them is not something we should be doing. There's advertising. You might get some advertising on there because where you've got attention, you can get advertising on it or use it for data or whatever. But one thing you don't want to be doing is monetizing. I think, was it Warwickshire tried to put theirs as a behind some sort of membership wall. I don't think it was paid for, but I think it was restricted in terms of membership. You had to sign up, and that was hard to get, and it didn't stay for very long. I think Kent have tried to monetize their streams for their T20 games. Look, if you actually look at it, more coverage of the Premier League has meant more people turning up to games. I think ticket prices and attendances, sorry, not ticket prices, but attendances at the Premier League were greater than ever last year, even though, you know, Sky is going up, ticket prices are going up. We're very different in the way we approach sport in the UK. We're very passionate, and it goes down a lot deeper than in other countries. So my feeling is if you were to improve the streams, you're going to get more people coming. You're going to get more people coming. whenever there's a close finish, there was a tie down at Somerset a few years ago, and they got about, I don't know, 25,000 people on, because there's whispers go around, oh, it's going to get close down at this game, and it's, you know, it's one where they need 10 runs to win, and they got one wicket left kind of thing. Yeah. Those sort of things. And that gives me hope for county cricket, because there's people out there watching, and they are watching to the extent that when something like that happens, they arrive, and the stream tells you that they arrive. So people are interested, people are watching. And that is your best advertisement. Your best advertisement is to show how interesting county cricket can be. You know, I think there's many things you could do. I think I'd like to see a different demographic of commentators. I'd like to hear some younger people, because look, they're all my age and look and sound like me, if not posher. I would like them. I would like to get some younger people, even if you've got a game per round where you've got some, you know, teens or 20 something commentators. And you can have a different choice of commentator. That's what Amazon do for their NFL coverage. And it's interesting, NFL coverage in America, you can choose your commentary. It used to be you could have American, you could have English for the international feed, or you could have all female. They had an all female. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. And the British commentators were over-indexed. The Americans really liked the British commentators. I don't know if the accent or anything like that. But you could have the same stream with a different type of commentator on, depending on who you are. Really low cost way of developing the reach of county cricket.
I think everyone's in agreement. And I think this is basically what you and I are sort of expanding on here, is cricket made a big mistake in coming off free to air at test level in 2005, at the moment where it should have gone to the absolute moon and back. It didn't, and it went behind paywalls, and it's going further and further behind paywalls. You know, if you've got your Sky subscription, that only really means you can watch England's home games. All the touring matches now go to TNT, and even this upcoming series in India, they still haven't decided about where the television coverage is going to be. And I've read various explanations, and maybe excuses is maybe too hard a word, but oh, because people don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch test match cricket. Yes, they do. But the fact is, making it accessible, and accessible is a broader word, I think, in terms of not just how to watch it, but how to get involved, how to identify with it, how to actually find out where to play it. There's a slightly different argument about the cost of playing in terms of how much it is for a cricket bat or a helmet or pads and all the rest of it. We'll just park that one for the moment. But, you know, it just seems to be getting more and more fragmented. Instead of, it's going the wrong way. We shouldn't be having to pay more and more to different media companies just to watch England play test cricket home and away.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, 2005, just to go back to your first point, was a crossroads. And it's interesting because I've heard people say, well, if English cricket hadn't taken the money in 2005, then you wouldn't have 18 counties now. It's like, well, maybe. But you'd be growing the game in the longer term. You'd have a longer term resilience over short term money. And the other thing is, county cricket, just to go back to your earlier point, if county cricket, if we lose some counties because we were keeping the game on free to air and taking less money, you know what? That's natural. That's natural. What we've had at the moment is artificially holding up the game with that money. And now we're artificially taking or creating circumstances where we're almost kind of contracting the game to a certain extent. But getting back to your point about TV. Yeah, look, I think we will be able to see that India series, but I think it'll be done late. I think that there'll be some brinkmanship over the amount of money involved. It would be nice if there was, I mean, there's the tennis channel that exists. It would be nice to see if somebody did take up a cricket channel. You know, I think Amazon have gone all over tennis and tried to buy up that, all the sort of mini tournaments outside the majors. It'd be interesting to see if somebody would do that, but I don't think there'd be enough value within county cricket because it's been allowed to wither on the vine in terms of interest in it. You know, there's a whole group. It's interesting because there's a whole group of people in the sort of older millennial generation who probably got divorced from the or weren't given visibility of the game because of 2005. And now we've got this sort of issue with cricket. What are we going to do with domestic cricket? I would be loving for a whole group of 30 to 35 year olds or 25 to 35 year olds being active, being militant, being concerned and being really, really cheesed off. But they don't exist because that generation's been lost. That generation has been lost because of what happened in 2005. And it's rare, even Premier League football, even the behemoth that is Premier League football, they have still kept Match of the Day in its position of ultimate importance. You know when it's on, you know what it's going to show, and that visibility is crucial. And yet again, there's been FA Cup ties over the weekend, and you know those FA Cup ties shown on the BBC, I think it was BBC and ITV were sharing it. Well, whoever was playing, you know, whatever non-league club was playing, you know, a Premier League club in a sort of very bog standards tie, there's every chance that would get more viewership than a major Premier League game on Sky, because only a certain percentage of the country gets Sky. So the yet again, it's a decision over long-term resilience and less money versus short-term money. That's, you know, it's but the issue is where that money goes and how it's used. And I think what we're seeing now is that money is being used to get a smaller group of people getting richer rather than spreading it out for the good of the game.
If only there was a cricket mad big media promoter who has a solid track record
in
taking fairly mundane sporting events and catapulting them into the stratosphere. I'm kind of leaning, you know who I'm talking about. And if the listeners should know that Richard and I have already kind of had this discussion already. Barry Hearn, or a Barry Hearn type figure, is what cricket needs right now.
Well, I did a podcast with Barry Hearn, and I'm a big boxing fan, so I've seen what Eddie Hearn has done. I've got a few colleagues of mine that have worked for Matchroom over the past few years. And I got a lot of respect for what they've done. I mean, Eddie Hearn gets a fearful amount of stick, but he will do because he's put his head above the parapet. But he's absolutely taken boxing forward. They have a history. You look at the darts, what Matthew Porter's done with the darts. And you look at Luke Littler and what happened recently around him. And it's very rare these days that you get something behind a paywall that a star that comes out behind a paywall and sort of takes over kind of thing and becomes a national narrative, even though darts as a sport had that huge background of the Lakeside and the John Lowe and the Jockey Wilson and the Eric Bristow period. And they've pounced upon that, have Matchroom, improved it and made it better. And it's very much, you know, I went there a couple of years ago, and it's very capitalizing. It's a T20 crowd. T20 crowd. It's a Friday night at Chelmsford, a few beers in, having a sing-song kind of crowd. And you know, with all the good side and the bad side of that. But it's a great atmosphere. It's a great event. They've combined their boxing skills with their dart skill, their boxing presentation. You know, everyone has a ring walk. Everyone has, you know, some razzmatazz around it. But they know what they're doing in terms of developing quote unquote smaller sports. Now that used to be snooker and darts and boxing. Well, I would argue now what's happened to cricket over the last 30 years, cricket is a smaller sport. In terms, you know, if you look at darts, the Matthew Porter, when I did a podcast with him, who runs the PDC, the governing, not, they're not a governing body, they're the organizers of that tournament at Ali Pali. They were very aware that they had to change the narrative over darts. And I think cricket needs to change its narrative now because it's got into a certain space. It's got into a certain space, certainly domestic cricket. And, you know, if you want to grow cricket, where you look at what they've done with darts and the recent darts and the Luke Littler games getting more than some of the big Premier League games. It's the second biggest sport on Sky, and that includes cricket. Yeah. And they're local. They're only in Brentwood. Get them involved. That's what I say.
Well, apparently, I've talked to him a few times. He's been on the show before, and I'm a regular down at his Barry Hearn's Sixes that he does in aid of the Lord's Taverners. He did apparently approach the ECB at the start of the he describes the T20 as being the one that got away. But I kind of feel that he's got unfinished. But we'll have to get him back on. Me and you will have to get him on together and talk about, you know, whether he's still got appetite for this. Because when I spoke to him, it felt like it was still an irritant to him that the ECB had kind of poo-pooed him being involved in cricket. I mean, he's a genuine fan. He really is. He still plays. He's into his 70s and still plays. I think he plays for Essex over 70s still. But he plays over at East Hanginfield regularly. You know, could he be the one that can come back? And as you say, a problem that cricket has got at national and county level is that it's still being run and still being presented by former players. And, you know, it needs to move. You need grown-ups in the room at this stage. And Barry Hearn, I would suggest, and maybe even Eddie, because Eddie's a big cricket nut as well, that they come to the table, the ECB invites them to the table and just listens to what they might suggest is the way forward.
I think that they'd be worth listening to. Yeah, and when I say get them involved, they, you know, when I've my podcast that I did with Barry Hearn, they analyse greatly what sports work for them, and it is the second tier sport. So, you know, they've done some work in gymnastics recently. I know they've had a look at esports when I was talking to them a couple of years ago. There's some gymnastics events that have been on in, I think it was in the Copper Box, that they've had a look at that. They're obviously big in the pool, the Moscone Cup, and some of those other events as well. So you certainly have to look at, if I was Essex County Cricket Club, I would look at them as well. Or I would invite them and listen to what they have to say and hope that they could be interested, because I think there's they know how to sell a sport. Now, if you look at what happened to darts, of course, there was a huge split in darts.
Yeah.
And there was the PDC and the BDO and the, you know, I used to report on Lakeside Darts, Bob Potter's venue down in Frimley Green. And that was quite a bitter split in many ways. And I think I'm right in saying that a couple of years ago that disappeared. The other version of the World Championship disappeared because the PDC won the day because they modernised and went forward. Now I look at that and think, are there lessons for cricket? And there will be. And you know where I stand with regard to the development of cricket in terms of the tournament that shall not be named, franchise cricket, but we have to move forward with a view to keeping hold of our traditions and the things that make us special, that anchor us, that allow us to pass on stories and myths and things like that, that is the very nature of sport. And I think that if you look at what Matchroom have done, they've been very clever in the way they've developed sport, not without bumps on the road. Snooker's had its ups and downs. Boxing's had its ups and downs. But I look at what Matchroom have done, and I've got total respect for what they do. I think they're great at what they do, and I'd love for them to be asked to come to the table and talk about cricket in Essex or in England, because you just look at where darts was and where it is now.
Yeah, snooker as well, boxing. It's all, you know, there's a fairly, as you've just outlined there so eloquently, there's a pattern, isn't there? And they are very good at identifying their skill set and applying it. I think Barry Hearn described it as competitive sport in a convivial atmosphere, which is, I think, certainly what the darts is when you go to the Alley Pally.
Yeah, it's a good night out, isn't it? And there's and when there's been a lot of talk about the tournament shall not be named, and they were saying under every metric that it's been a success. Well, T20 was 15% up year on year in terms of group stages.
Yeah.
Ticket sales in 2019, 50% up over the previous 5 years. The metrics were going fine. It could have been developed. I mean, if you look at T20 finals day, that does feel like a kind of you can see a similarity between that Ali Pali style event. Now, that some of that puts people off. You know, there are certain people put off by T20 because it's a bit too raucous for them. Okay, that's fine. And that's another great thing about county cricket, that there's different tournaments to cater for different demographics, and that's great. You know, the 50 over, the T20, and the championship have slightly different crowds. Really cool. I think that's really positive.
Yeah.
I worry that it's being undermined and it won't exist for very much longer.
Well, exactly. And I think what it needs, you know, if there was somebody 3 or 4 years ago, whenever it was, when all of this madness was being plotted, if there was someone like a Barry Hearn type figure or an Eddie Hearn to just say, what are you doing, guys? You don't need to do this. You've got it all here right in front of you. You don't need, this will ruin it. You'll dilute it. You'll split factions. You'll upset the audience. You will damage your brand. If only there was that had happened back then, we might not be at this sorry state of affairs that we've reached now.
Yeah, and alas, the way it's been brought in and the way that people have been treated, certainly fans feel that they've been treated and ignored. Established fans feel that they've been treated and ignored. There's a lot of bitterness around that, and it isn't helping. It isn't helping at all. And we have a number of votes coming up about the expansion and extension, not votes, actually, a number of discussions around the
discussions or instructions.
Expansion of, sorry?
Discussions or instructions.
Yeah, well, it's going to be discussed, isn't it? And I really find it difficult that you want to progress the game and find a way forward. However, you're only being given one option, and that is from an organisation that hasn't been very open to taking on your views or catering for you, and yet, okay, it's a take it or leave it. And by the way, and if you leave it, you're a stick in the mud. You don't want change. Well, I think that's far too too much of a binary vote. You know, you can want change and want to keep with tradition. You can want change and want to preserve Red Bull cricket.
Yeah.
You know, no one in county cricket, in my opinion, is turning around and saying, well, that T20 nonsense, we can't be doing with that because it's not good for cricket. Everyone knows it's been paying for county cricket ever since it came in the early noughties, and county fans, mostly after about a year or so, were right behind it. And anyone who says they weren't, wasn't there or wasn't watching.
All right, Rich.
Yeah, I will leave you with that because I think you're trying to get me off now, right?
my timer is going down on my cheapo Zoom subscription, so yes. But yeah, I think you're right, and it's a mess. But I think we need to get Barry Hearn back on and gently twist his arm into getting actively involved either at Essex or at England level. I think it would that would be the tonic that we would all need.
Absolutely. Good old Essex firm. Essex leading the way in cricket again. This is what we want, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I said earlier on, if you haven't subscribed to Richard's excellent county cricket newsletter, the easiest way to do it actually is just Google county cricket newsletter. It's the first thing that comes up. Click on that and there's a subscribe button. It's absolutely superb. It's a brilliant read every week is it weekly or other week, or just when you can find the time?
It's weekly in the season, fortnightly outside the season. It is 100% free. It'll be free forever.
Perfect. And along the way, you can buy Richard a coffee just to make him feel a little bit better about himself and about the world of cricket. Richard, thanks for joining me, and we will catch up again soon. We'll now both get to work on Barry Hearn, and we'll get him on for a proper discussion.
Good idea. Thanks, Dan.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
My thanks to Richard for that. Let's have a bit of music. This is Blondie.
Is Phoenix 98 FM.
That's Blondie and Picture This. Now, when I was just talking to Richard earlier on, we were talking about the necessity of getting cricket on free-to-air television, and I found a little illustration that tells you the difference it would make. The average audience on Sky Sports for a Premier League match is 1.78 million. Now, you would know how important football is to Sky, but compare it to this. On Sunday, last Sunday, Liverpool were playing Arsenal on the BBC in the FA Cup. A record 7.6 million watched the game live. The game was also streamed 2 million times on iPlayer. So we really do need to get cricket back on free-to-air television.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
Right, I've got a few things to squeeze in before John Chubb is here at the top of the hour with the non-league hour. Hampshire, there's a report service in the Telegraph that Delhi Capitals are in advanced talks to acquire a stake in Hampshire. Hampshire put out a statement. They've said Hampshire Sports and Leisure Holdings has made no secret of the fact that it has been investigating a number of investment options for some time now. And in the course of these investigations, the company has engaged with a number of parties under conditions of confidentiality. While it is true that the company is fully engaged in some detailed negotiations regarding investment, the nature and content of such investigations are subject to formal non-disclosure agreements, which the company is bound to observe. To date, we have concluded no formal binding agreements other than NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. We can make no further comment about the status of our negotiations until such time as we have something to disclose. All I'd say is this is interesting because when Yorkshire were first in their troubles, there were some IPL franchises circling, but they were pushed away by the ECB. So what's changed that Delhi Capitals think that they now might be in with a chance at Hampshire? We will follow that and find out what is going on. I'm sure in the next few days something will come from that. Going to the franchise stuff, the Big Bash. Now, I wouldn't necessarily bother talking about this, but Brisbane Heat are currently top of the Big Bash League after 9 games, and it's Essex's very own Paul Walter, a.k.a. Tall Paul, who continues to shine. He got another brace of wickets in yesterday's win over Perth Scorchers and is somewhat of their poster boy in this edition of the BBL, regularly taking wickets and also hitting some absolutely massive sixes. So congratulations to Mr. Walter. Keep it going. And sticking with Essex, if you are a member, the Vitality Blast and Blast passes for this season are now on sale to members who can buy T20 tickets at £15 until January the 25th. And Blast passes from £92 until January the 19th when they go on general sale. Now, sticking with Essex, they have just, this minute, breaking news, they've just put a rather intriguing photograph on their social media of an eagle sat on a throne in front of a South African flag with a cricket bat leant up against the throne. And what's really interesting is there's a red ball and a white ball in the picture. They said they're going to make a big announcement tomorrow. The rumour is Dean Elgar, and we sincerely hope it is. But be aware, Somerset, who are also rumoured, and the recent South Africa versus India test, the commentators were saying that Elgar was headed for Somerset. They are announcing their captain for 2024 at 12:30 tomorrow, so keep it peeled. I will put whatever I can find on our social media, but very, very big day tomorrow. Right, I'm out of time. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, you can catch up on the podcast. The Grumbler interview was there. Also, the piece I put on earlier this week with Craig Johnson talking about Franz Beckenbauer. Remember to vote for us. The details are on all over the socials and will be on the website where you can listen back to tonight's show at your leisure. John Chubb is next with the Non-League Hour playing us out. This is Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.